Happy Sunday and welcome to another amazing edition of Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, establishing effective communication through spiritual growth. My name is Gerald G. Rat Riley, and unfortunately, my beautiful wife, my rib, my baby, Katasha Riley, couldn't be here today. She is taking care of business for Overflow Salon and Barbershop. I'm so excited today because we have a special guest named Miss Yolanda McGee. Say hello, Miss Yolanda McGee.
Hello.
Outstanding. And Miss Yolanda McGee is a healthcare specialist. Did I say that right?
We can say specialist.
Okay, now what exactly is a healthcare specialist?
My particular specialty, I'm a surgical first assist. That means that I assist the surgeons doing procedures, anywhere from making incisions, I'm closing the patient, I'm holding open wounds for visualizations for an operative outcome for his surgery.
Outstanding. Now, as you know, listen to the audience, October is Breast Cancer Awareness. And I reached out to Miss Yolanda McGee. The family call her Yogi. I reached out to Yogi because Yogi has the unique position of not only helping and assisting people who have been diagnosed with breast cancer and other diseases, as well as recently ringing the bell because she was diagnosed with breast cancer.
That's correct.
All right. So my first question, can I call you Cuzzo?
You can say Cuzzo.
Okay. My first question, Cuzzo, how have you been? Because you look amazing. That Yogi always had beautiful hair, beautiful eyes, beautiful skin. So how have you been?
I've been well. Considering what I've been through, everyone is amazed. It's like they forget that I've gone through the journey. You just look so good. We just forget, you know. But I feel fine. I really do.
Well, you look amazing.
Well, thank you.
You look amazing. Now, like I said, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. What does that mean to you?
Now, it does have a different meaning to me now. I did do, you know, Relay for Lives and walks for breast cancer or different cancers in the past. But now that it hit personally, this month really stands out more. And the fact that I was able to ring my bell for radiation this month makes it even more special that I do have that different heart for people with not only cancer, but breast cancer specifically, because I know what they're going through.
Man, that is so awesome. And you know, I just thank you. I salute you just for taking my call and just, you know, coming here because, you know, you don't live in Columbus, Georgia. Mm. You came from out of town to do this interview. So I know that Breast Cancer Awareness Month means something to you. And so I just like to say thank you. Now, my next question, Yogi, Cuzzo, you have the unique position of recently ringing the bell while simultaneously working as a healthcare professional, seeing people with breast cancer and other diseases and assisting them in the operating room. How does that make you feel?
Well, that is an interesting question. I've had the fortunate to be able to, like I said, assist in surgery, and I've been doing it for 17 years, and some kind of way God has put me in the surgeries of cancer, either GYN cancer or breast cancer. So I've been around cancer for about the past 16 years, and when I got diagnosed, you know, people knew I was going through the journey, and then when I had to assist in surgery, so like breast cancer specifically, you know, the charge nurse asked, would you be okay doing that? And I was like, I don't have a problem with that. You know, that's still my gift, you know, to assist that surgeon. And where I have, like, an up to me is that I get a personal opportunity to lay hands on that woman and pray for her because I know what she's about to go through.
Now, Cuzzo, how do you separate the personal from what you've been through with the cancer versus the professional with what you deal with as for how do you separate the two? I mean, I'm quite sure at some point you were working with cancer in your body and still working in your profession, dealing with people with cancer in their body. So how did you How did you maintain?
When I first got diagnosed, Cuzzo, I said, you know, I'm fixing to go through this, but it's going to happen to my body, and I'm not going to allow it to happen to me. So me and my character stayed the same throughout. So if I've assisted that patient in any kind of way or that surgeon for that surgery, I did it the same way I did before I diagnosed with cancer. I just see the patient. That's a person that's going through something. They needed my help. I was there to help.
Awesome. Now, what would you tell our listening audience for maybe a woman or even a man that has been diagnosed with cancer? What would you tell them to expect? Or can you even expect anything? Can you prepare for this?
You can prepare in a way. What I've learned about cancer, there's so many variables. You know, I know people say, well, there's got to be a cure, got to be a cure. It's just like, to me, it's like macaroni and cheese. Some people like this kind of cheese. Some people like that kind of cheese that makes it different. And the same thing with cancer. There's something about yours that could be a little different from someone else, and they kind of group it together. I would say, don't just go out there and grab all the information on cancer. Find your specific and get you a group. Or like I found a group on Facebook, find a group that has your specific, and they know that you went through the same treatment, and they know how those chemicals can affect you, what you can expect, how to prepare for it, and then that way you're not caught off guard.
So you recommend support groups?
Support groups and do your research, you know, just on yours. Don't try to research everything else because there's so much out there and you'll just be overwhelmed. But just on your specific, get that information and study it and get your support group.
Now, how was your support as far as family and friends?
Family and friends, when I first found out, I got to be honest, I was selective. You know, when you go in the fight, you want to know that you got your Evander Holyfields and your Mike Tyson's
hold
in
on,
your corner.
Hold on. Say that again.
You got to be selective.
When you get ready to fight the enemy, you have to be selective.
You got
to
be selective. You can't just let everybody in the ring because some people are going to be standing there, you know, I don't know what to do. But then, you know, Mayweather going to come in there, Duke's up, let's do this, you know. So you got to be selective. And I wasn't being, you know, trying to oust anyone or whatever by not informing them. But it's like I had to keep my circle tight because I didn't want any naysayers. Oh, me. No, don't come like that. We come to fight. We going to beat this thing. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. So that's what kind of energy I needed around me.
Man, that is awesome. Now, what did you know about breast cancer before you were diagnosed versus what did you know about breast cancer after you were diagnosed?
Before being diagnosed, I didn't have that much knowledge of it other than knowing that when a patient came in, we were either taking out a lump or taking the whole breast. And so you don't get to see, you know, what they were diagnosed with, what got them to that decision of to what they were having the procedure done, and what occurred after their procedure. But now on this side, I know that getting checked is a must. Not only just your, you know, feeling self-exams or whatever, but the mammograms, because my particular cancer, it was large, and you couldn't feel it. So the mammogram is what came in play to find and detect mine.
Now, did you have any symptoms or it was just a regular checkup?
No symptoms, just a regular checkup. The nurse practitioner couldn't feel it. Even after I got diagnosed and went to see my surgeon, he couldn't feel it. It was only detected on mammogram, ultrasound, and then the MRI.
And so do you recommend getting those things on the regular for people listening?
Get those things on
why?
The regular every year.
Why?
And I'll tell you why. Because I had my last mammogram 2019. And 2020, coming up time for my next mammogram, I changed careers and I moved to out of the city. And the company that I joined, it was a contract company, and I didn't have medical insurance. So I was like, well, you know, I don't really go to the doctor. I'll be okay. You know, so I swung that for about 2 years, and then I started to travel, and this particular company offered insurance. And I said, okay, let me go get a little checkup and everything. went on a Wednesday. I never forget. Went on a Wednesday, and I said, you know, everything's, if we find anything, we'll give you a call. Thursday, they call. I'm like, okay, no big deal. You know, I've had cysts on my breast before, so that's all it is. So I went in, you know, and they just have this look. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I'm not going to buy into that. And so, yeah, getting it checked often, every year, that is the key.
Wow. You know, you my peeps. And just to sit here and talk about this, you know, I have a poker face, but I feel some kind of way. But nevertheless, now, what are some of the different treatments for breast cancer? What was your treatment?
My treatment, when I first was, you know, given the information from my surgeon, he said mastectomy, you know, because of the size. You have, I know they have ductal cancer, and mine was called lobular cancer. And I describe it like an octopus because it has like a head and it has tentacles, so it's spread out. And because of the nature of its growth, a lumpectomy wouldn't have been feasible because it would be hard to get all the margins. Getting the margins when they do a lumpectomy is crucial because if any is left in the margin, then the recurrence rate is higher than taking the whole breast off. So when he said that, and I was like, well, would I have to go through chemo after the mastectomy? He said, yes. I said, well, let's go chemo first. You know, you got to have that relationship with your doctor. Yeah, they're advising, but when you've done your research, well, let's try chemo. Maybe we can shrink it down, and it'll give me an option. And so we did that, went through chemo, and I still went through the surgery to take them off. And then I did radiation because of the original size. It did, chemo did shrink it, but not enough to do a successful lumpectomy. And so I had to do radiation. And I just finished radiation last Tuesday. And so now I'm kind of dealing with the side effects from that. But other than that, I'm good.
You look good, girl. Now, you said that you had a tumor. Okay. Now, can you explain the difference between a malignant and a benign cancerous tumor?
Malignant means more of a positive. The benign is nothing to worry about there. Watch it. Malignant means there's something there, and we need to address it and take care of it. It'll either be a lot of people. Some people can do just radiation, you know, depending on the size, the location. Some can just be done with radiation. Like I said, because I waited almost 3 years, I don't know when it actually started growing. You know, sometimes I like try not to kick myself. Darn, you should have went, you know, 2 years ago, and it would have been a different outcome. But either way, here we are.
Outstanding. Now, what stage were you at? Because how many stages of cancer are they, and what stage were you at? And can you explain the stages?
The stages are based on size and some of the elements of the staging also depends on how it has, which areas it has affected. So, like, if it's just in your breast tissue and size, I was a stage 3. But a stage 4 would be the size and the fact that it has invaded your lymph nodes. And I had no lymph nodes involvement. And when you get into lymph node involvement, then that's the route that the cancer can get to other areas of your body.
Outstanding. Now, just for our listening audience, Cuzzo had a malignant cancerous tumor. Benign tumors are non-cancerous, but you can also have cancer without having a tumor. And most of the time, that is blood cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Don't know much about the blood cancer. They wouldn't come for surgery. All that, those treatments would be done at, like, the infusion centers.
With leukemia? Is leukemia breast blood cancer?
It's a blood cancer. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, how long was your treatment?
I was diagnosed December the 6th. I have my dates down. I had my port put in on January the 12th. I had my first chemo infusion on January the 19th. I had four treatments of the Red Devil, what they call the Red Devil, and then I had 12 treatments of Taxol, and I finished up treatment on June the 7th.
Okay, now I noticed that you have like a Band-Aid on your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is that Band-Aid for?
This Band-Aid is, I have burns from radiation. And this one is an open burn, So I just keep it covered to keep the air from it. When I get home, I'll, you know, let it air out. But yeah, I have different burns under my arm and in my chest area from radiation.
Okay, so that's one of the side effects of radiation?
That's the side effect of radiation.
What else is a side effect of radiation?
Fatigue, they say some diarrhea. Truly, because of throughout the whole journey, the from what you hear, stories that you hear, people, you know, how bad it is. And it's not a walk in the park, but it was not bad. I worked through all of my treatments. I have not stopped working since I got diagnosed.
Oh, wow.
I had 1 week off between travel assignments, and God had it to where that particular week I was sick for like 6 days. And I just texted my doctor and I said, this is not going to work because I got to work. And he kind of lowered the dosage for me so it could be more manageable.
Wow. Now, can men have breast cancer as well?
Men can have breast cancer. That disc tissue can develop a cancer.
Could you say that again?
Men do have the dense tissue like women. And because, you know, everyone is born with some percentage of cancer cells, it can develop into a breast cancer.
Everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I heard you say something about cancer spreading through lymph nodes and all
right,
that.
Right, your lymph nodes. That's
and so what does metastasize, what does that mean to a person that has been diagnosed with cancer? Because I hear people saying the cancer has metastasized.
Okay, so let's say if you started off with a breast cancer and it's in your lymph nodes and it goes somewhere else. So now that it could be in your colon, it could show up in your female organs, it could be in your lungs. So that's what metastasizing means, that it spreads somewhere else beyond your primary.
Now, is there a treatment for cancer when it metastasizes? Because we don't want it to metastasize.
You don't want it to metastasize. I think when, and a lot of it, you know, depends on how soon you catch your cancer and the treatment. Some people, you know, ignore, oh, it's just a little lump, it's okay, you know, blah, blah, blah. And now you're at stage four. At that point, treatment is difficult, and you know.
Listen, if you're just joining us for Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, I'm in the studio with Miss Yolanda McGee. And Miss Yolanda McGee has the unique, I guess, position of being diagnosed with breast cancer, as well as being a surgical professional who actually helps treat people with breast cancer. And so I just would like to just thank her for coming on to the show today and sharing her journey, her personal journey. Girl, you doing it.
Thank you.
You doing it. And I know this is not everyone's story.
Right.
But I just appreciate you coming on, sharing our story with us. Now you said that if you had went to the doctor 2 years prior, you believe that it would have been a different outcome.
I believe it would have been a different outcome, as far, not saying that I wouldn't have had cancer. The size would have been different. I think I could have called it smaller, and the treatment could have been different. I may not have to have had the red devil. I could have been in a position.
Wait, hold on. I'm a Christian. I don't know nothing about no red devil.
Red devil, adriamycin is one of the chemo drugs that they use for treating breast cancer, and they call it the red devil because it's tough on the body. I mean, fatigue, you can't even describe it. It's not like being up for 24 hours and you're just tired. This fatigue, your legs are heavy, you can barely walk, all of that happens. So that's why they call it the red devil. But I think if I had caught it earlier, it could have been way smaller and my treatment could have been different, to where maybe I would have just had to have radiation, or maybe I could have just had a lumpectomy, you know. But hindsight is always 20/20.
Now, when should women start going to the doctor with checkups, as far as checking to see what you call them, the
mammogram?
Mammogram, yes.
I think it's around 40. I've been going
that
for
that late.
Yeah, I've been going for a while, so I'm thinking 40. I got up in age now. But if you have like a family history, then I would discuss it with my physician to say, hey, I want to go ahead and get it checked now because I do have, you know, family history.
Wow. I looked up some facts. More than 200,000 people are diagnosed with breast cancer every year. That's men and women. Did you ever think that you would be in that number?
No, never thought. Even though, you know, there's family history, you just don't ever think it'll be me. You know, not saying that I'm special and couldn't, but you just never think, you know, oh, that could have been me.
Now, what part of your diagnosis and recovery, what part did your relationship with God have in it?
Wow. like I said, from the beginning, I've stood on Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. So I stood on that, and I just kept believing. I said, okay, I didn't look at what I was going through, because I already knew this is here. You know, I've seen, you know, this is going to make me feel like this, that, and third. But I got excited to see, okay, God, if you brought me to this, you're going to bring me through this. What you got on the other side? I can't wait to see it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so and I took that approach too, and just like I just look forward to what's next. This is my second chance in life.
Listen, we're broadcasting from Columbus, Georgia, all the way to Eufaula and surrounding areas. So a lot of people are listening to this show. What can you tell someone out there who maybe hasn't had a breast exam over 40, or maybe they have had a breast exam and was recently diagnosed with cancer?
Don't look at it as a doom and gloom. You look at it as an opportunity to get information and learn how to fight. And the fight comes with being strong through your treatment, being strong with, you know, what the doctors are recommending. Don't be afraid to ask them any question you can think of. I went into my chemo treatments, and you would see the doctor every time. I pull out my phone, I have my list. What's this? What's this? What's this? And he, you know, it just made him feel good that I'm looking up information myself and not just going in blind and just, okay, yeah, you're the doctor, you know, we in this together. So ask questions and get your information.
That is awesome. In closing, is there anything that you would like to say in closing?
I can say the other thing is that I never asked God, why me? Why not me? But I did ask him, why cancer? I said, you know, because I'm always fast-paced, on the go, busy. I was looking forward to traveling, you know, doing my travel assignments to get out there. And then this hit. And I said, you could have gave me something, you know, the last about 3-4 weeks, you know, give me a little rest or whatever. And clear as day, one Sunday, he said, you believe in me, but do you trust me? So my journey was about trust. Trusting God in everything, and the fact that you're not in control. He's always been in control.
Wow, that is powerful. Look, this has been Sunday Conversations with the Rileys. Peace.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.